In one of the very first episodes of the Being Better Every Day podcast, I talked about having the simplicity and systems to help you be better every day. Today, I want to dive deeper into one of those five systems I talked about, which is finances. And guess what? I have so much to say that it's going to end up being a three-part series. Part one, on the basics of the systems that I use to track our finances. Part two, diving deep into debt. And part three, tracking your small business, because that takes different systems. Welcome to the Being Better Everyday podcast, where we make your days more peacefully productive while you're juggling all the things. I'm your host, Julie Renslick, a millennial mom, finance professional, and founder of P&W Designs. I know that as a mom, business owner, and corporate girly, or a combination of all three like myself, sometimes life can feel like a lot. With the simplicity of systems and being better every day, we create habits and routines that support your life, create the calm and the chaos, and put the you back in your everyday. Grab those headphones, put on your shoes, and join me on a walk while we dig into today's episode. Welcome, welcome. I need to get the disclosures out of the way first. As someone with a finance degree and somebody that is securities licensed, I need to say first and foremost, nothing on this podcast is investment or financial advice or tax planning advice, nor is it affiliated with any organization other than P&W Designs. I'm coming at you as a bestie sitting across from you with a hot cup of coffee, talking to a friend and geeking out about finances. And don't roll your eyes. I really do love empowering people to talk about their finances that much. So before we dive in, I did mention the word systems. So I wanted to give you a little bit of a quick refresh on what that means. In episode, I think it was 3 or 4, we'll link it, I talked about habits, routines, and systems, and I said, think of them like sisters, each similar, but with their own unique characteristics. So they can act like twins, and other times it's really easy to tell them apart. It really just depends on the context you're using. So in my world, and what we're talking about today, a routine is a normal order in which you generally will do things. This is kind of like a conscious habit. Conscious act. How about that? A habit is unconscious. It's a thing you do often and most without thinking about, especially something that's hard, like to stop doing. And, you know, for me, obviously, I am someone who has intention around routines, but I struggle with making it a habit, right? And the system is the organized set of ideas or theories in a particular way of doing something. So example, the system is the thing you put in place to do your routine, which hopefully will then become a habit. Okay, so then let's get into it. Today, I'm going to walk you through the financial systems that we have in place that work for my husband and I. Now, let me first say that we are not perfect when it comes to money. Today, we're focusing on the systems. We, like every other American, have our own struggles and, again, things that need to become more habits, especially when it comes to like spending money. But we've had our financial systems in place for more than 10 years, and it really has allowed us to feel like our finances have that system in place where it's a habit of how much we're, you know, we know when exactly we're paying our bills. We know how to communicate with each other of like what's due and when, and we know who's responsible for what, which again is kind of a cornerstone of making sure that this isn't overwhelming. And certainly as a financial professional in corporate America, I'm super passionate about it and making sure that you have kind of an organized financial life. Today, I'm not going to dive deep into financial mindset because honestly, it's not my forte. This podcast is typically not about mindset work. It's about habits, systems, and routines to make your life less overwhelming. But the deep inner work, the subconscious work isn't where, like, I'm doing my own work on that, right? And I'm not an expert on it. And I do believe it's extremely important and inherent in your long-term success with finances and kind of with life in general is that subconscious work. But that is the work that I'm learning. And so we're not going to talk about the psychology of money. If you do want to dive into the psychology of money and kind of want to kind of dip your toe into what that looks like, I highly suggest you check out Ramit's podcast, I Will Teach You to Be Rich. It is super helpful when it comes to that conversation around the psychology of money, especially when it comes to even high-income earners who find themselves in debt and or, you know, couples and how they communicate around their finances. It is one that I listen to on a regular basis. And again, I highly suggest you check it out for yourself. First, let's start with the basics of what is the actual system we use to track our finances. We are never late on our bills and ensure that we have enough money to pay each of our bills with each of the paychecks. You might assume I'm going to point out like some online system, but nope. We in our family do old school, which is Google Sheets or Excel. And I got pointed out, I mean, that's like the new old school, if that makes sense, right? Not pen and paper, but we definitely stick to kind of a manual system with Excel because we found that that works best for us and it helps let us forecast our bills and kind of see out forward looking a little bit better than what I've found any online system can do. So my husband and I primarily live on my corporate income that pays for 90% of our income, if that makes sense, like our bills and expenses, et cetera, is 90% me. And we don't have the most simplistic finances in the world because we do have two businesses as well as my corporate income. So from an account perspective, when I'm talking about Google Sheets and Excel, we do that for our joint account because our joint account is where my corporate income goes. And that is where all of our bills are paid from. That is where all of our regular spending comes out of. That's kind of our primary account. But I also have a business account for me. My husband has a business account. We have a savings joint account. We have a savings individual account for me, an individual savings account for him. And then we primarily bank online with a bank called Ally. Again, this isn't a paid whatever. It's just that's where we bank. And then our main joint account is actually at US Bank because I like having that one a little bit more readily available from a like location, physical location perspective, where Ally is just an online bank. And then I do get paid every other week. And that is the cadence of our financial system, because again, that pays for 90% of our everyday living expenses, et cetera, that we live on. So let's dive into the system. In Excel, we keep a spreadsheet of all of our bills, even automatic withdrawals. So it's not just the ones we have to manually pay, right? That first tab is what I would call it. We keep a spreadsheet of everything, including automatic payments, as well as their due dates. And then there's a column that has our base payment, as well as a column for our target payment. So context on that kind of like base payment and column for target payment. Again, we'll dive into this a little bit more next episode. But my husband and I graduated with over $140,000 in student loans back in 2011. And we still have the joy of working to pay those off. Yay, private college student loan debt and graduating during the financial crisis. So we are still working through that, and I'll kind of explain our debt system next episode. But so again, main tab has all of our fixed expenses, their due date, their target kind of minimum payment, as well as our kind of target payment of every month of what we've agreed to pay. And then we actually have it segregated into two sections, first half of the month, second half of the month, because again, I get paid twice, generally twice a month. And so we kind of like segment our bills that way as well. And then on a separate tab, we keep what I would mostly describe as a check ledger. I would assume everyone who listens to this podcast knows what a check ledger is because, you know, physical checkbooks aren't that old. But the columns that we have are date, category, and these are our own categories. And obviously, like online systems, they have pre-filled categories, but we kind of keep a list of running categories like house, daughter, gas, groceries, loans for me, loans for Matt, car, electricity, mortgage, internet, like all of the kind of like fixed expense bills. But again, it allows us to analyze if we do get it. I won't typically do a pivot and kind of look at how much we're spending in each category. But if we were feeling like we needed to analyze that, then we have the category. And then transaction is the third column. This is the description of like how it comes through online, right? If it's Target or if it's Whole Foods or if it's, I don't know, whatever. That's kind of that transaction column, the amount, and then balance would be kind of obviously that running balance of what is in the account. And then each time I get paid, we enter all of the additional transactions since the last time we budgeted. So every 2 weeks we go in, we enter into the Excel all the transactions that have gone through online to make sure that our Excel is balanced with what the amount is online. And then we schedule and pay all of the bills until the next paycheck. So we're basically doing our financial system every 2 weeks, every time I get paid. And then we pay all of the bills until the next, well, it's not even until the next paycheck, right? So I used to get paid the 15th and the 30th of every month. A year ago, my corporate job switched to every other week. So now, for example, I got paid on the 21st of March, and that 21st will actually pay the bills from April 1st to April 15th, because the next paycheck will then pay the 15th through the 30th. So we have about the same amount of money that's due the first 15 days of the month to the second 15 days of the month. So this allows us to make sure that we have enough money for the bills and we're not getting into a situation where we're like waiting for the next paycheck or anything like that, right? And certainly our fixed expenses are higher than they should be. And we'll get into that. But it's again, it's because of kind of those debt payments. So here's the reason that I really love the Excel is because it allows us to see what's left and what went into savings and see after everything else has been paid where we're at. I think it manages our fixed expenses a lot better, especially when we're paid kind of on an every other week basis and our bills are chunked into the 1st through 15th and 15th through 30th. So that's how we manage our fixed expenses. And then we need to talk about kind of like the variable expenses, the things that aren't like scheduled bills. And that is what we call, Matt and I call, our weekly spending. And a lot of people aren't going to like this, but generally what we have found that works best for us is cash. Matt and I have consistently struggled with spending within our means when it comes to what I would call fun money, right? The non-bills. And one of the reasons, I mean, it's candidly, it's me. I'm the problem. I'm a spender at heart. And I often have the mindset of like, I deserve this because of my income and kind of like that money mindset. And cash allows us to see how much is left on a weekly basis. Now, we will get into situations where like we don't feel like carrying cash for the week. And then we literally will have a notepad on our countertop with our amount that we live on a weekly basis. So each Friday we take out our weekly budget, which used to be around 300, and lately it's like 400 to 500 a month or a week, and cash for all non-bills. That means groceries, gas, dining out, activities, Amazon, and other shopping. It's everything that's like not a fixed expense. And again, if we're doing it in cash, we literally withdraw that amount from the bank account, and then that's our weekly budget. If we're not doing it in cash for the week, or let's say I know I need something on Amazon, we'll only withdraw like kind of that net amount. And then we keep a post-it on the countertop with the like, right, 500, right? And every transaction, we will minus it out and keep each other accountable. Because otherwise, what happens is if let's say we have that intention of $500 and we're not communicating throughout the week, like, oh, I went out to lunch, I did this and I did that, like, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. So that's where we found that like cash works best, because, you know, we keep it in a spot and we just take what we need for the week. I would love to say that we're like an envelope family, which is where you actually say, okay, we have 150 for groceries and we have 200 for gas, blah, blah, blah. But we've felt that it's been too restrictive for us, and it just works better for us to stick to a total sum each week and use it how we please. We also have found that resetting each Friday is best for us because we tend to spend the most on the weekends. So this method is technically called the zero-sum budget, where every dollar each month has a place, including savings, investing, bills, etc. And then again, what's left is kind of what we withdraw. And then that is what we have to spend on shopping and what we want. If we were following Ramid's method, so Ramid talks a lot about, you know, how to look at things. Again, we have too much in fixed expenses, and I cannot wait for the day that we stop paying for daycare and student loans and we get under, you know, kind of that lower fixed amount. But for now, we're at where we're at. Now, you might be thinking about the expenses that don't come up every month. The best thing you can do is split the money to a monthly cost and automatically save for it each month into a separate bucket or account. And why I say bucket is because where we bank at Ally Bank, it allows you to have a bucket within the account where you can fund specific goals. So you have one account, but you can have six buckets, right? And you kind of know, okay, that goal or that money in the savings account is for this specific goal, so it's not really available to touch. And I really do love kind of seeing those incremental goals being funded. I should note that in 2023, we also implemented monthly finance talks, which I did talk about on the original episode. My husband and I run businesses, and I wanted more insight into how his business was doing specifically, because for the first couple of years as a business, I was his quote unquote CFO. I was managing and doing all of the expenses, all of the income and everything. And candidly, I was just like, I don't have time for this anymore. So I made him do it. And he also has a finance degree, so he has no excuse. He needs to do it. So by implementing these monthly finance talks, we were able to say, okay, how is your business doing this month? How is my business doing this month? Do we have vacations coming up that we need to specifically save for? Do we have, you know, other financial goals that we have in mind, or wants or needs? And it has helped us get that habit of having open finance conversations, not just on the short term of like, has our bill been paid, but kind of on a bigger basis. We also will schedule special date nights when we have bigger finance talks or bigger talks we need to have. So for example, we've already done that twice in 2024, once in January and a second time when we were preparing for my spring bonus at work, because that is kind of a significant part of our income and we wanted to make sure we had a place or a purpose for the money that I was receiving at work. A part of our fixed expenses I didn't mention, but is definitely an important one, is automatic savings. So 42% of Americans do not have $1,000 in savings. And 50% of Americans have credit card debt with an average around $8,000 to $9,000 in debt. Don't be that statistic. Even if it's $25 a paycheck, start saving and getting a system set up to do it automatically. One of the biggest gifts you can give yourself is automatic savings. It helps mentally. It obviously helps with your everyday things that come up as well. Because if it's not automatic, trust me, it won't happen. You might be thinking you can't afford it, but again, if it's a habit that counts or a system to put in place to start saving at least $20 a paycheck to go from there, right? The goal, they say, is to be able to save 10% of your income. We're not there, but at least we're doing something. Make sure that it auto transfers each time you get paid to a separate account and watch it start to grow. And the other thing I'll say is pay attention to the interest rates on savings accounts, because large institutional banks are still paying a really low rate. So for example, we do not have a savings account at our physical bank because the savings rate is still about 0.5%, whereas our online bank, the savings rate is 4.25% as of the time of this recording. So for example, for every $1,000 we have in that bank account, we're earning $42.50 a year, which adds up. Final part that you might have overlooked through this conversation or in tracking your expenses is the dreaded creep of subscriptions. I would say that this is where I am most susceptible to expenses creeping up. I am so guilty on subscriptions. I mean, especially in my business. And you'll just like agree to it and then not write it down. And then you kind of forget when things are due. So between Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, Disney Plus, Spotify, Kindle Unlimited, God knows what else I have. These small expenses not only add up, but are often overlooked when we're budgeting on a monthly basis. And again, this is where we're guilty as well. And I actually have it on my to-do list for April to revisit our subscription list, both from a personal and business perspective. If you don't keep them on your main bills tab, which is what I get guilty of, because I will subscribe to it and then not put it in the bills tab because I just forget, I highly suggest that you have a separate list of subscriptions, including when they are billed, how often, and what account they're deducted to, right? Because the other thing we're often guilty of, or at least I'm guilty of, is I will put it on the credit card because I don't want my debit card saved in, you know, certain online systems. Again, looking back, if you feel lost in your systems or you feel like you need a refresh, before next week's episode, do the basic things. Make a list of all your subscriptions, your fixed expenses, and determine how much you will track or how you will track those things, right? For us, Excel works the best. It's old school. I do have formulas in there. Again, from a balance perspective, it kind of minuses out each transaction, those things like that. My husband sometimes gets a little confused when I have a table in there or a pivot table, But you can keep it simple, or you can even, and I'll talk about this next week too, but like if you open Excel and go to the templates area, there's probably some sort of budget worksheet there automatically pre-built that you can start working off of. And if you don't want to do the old school Excel version, try a system like You Need a Budget, Mint, which I think is shutting down, but Rocket Money or Honeydew, you know, those kind of systems will work for some people. They just don't work for us because I like to forward project our bills and make sure kind of that our paychecks are hitting on the right cadence. Matt and I's financial systems blend old school tracking with modern automation, ensuring we stay on top of our finances while working towards our long-term goals. So whether you're just starting or refinancing your financial systems, remember, consistency is king and small habits can lead to significant financial growth. Next, we dive into debt, so stay tuned. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Being Better Every Day podcast. To see any visuals, head over to my YouTube channel. Links, socials, and resources mentioned can always be found in today's show notes. I truly appreciate you leaving a rating and review to help me reach more women looking to build systems to be peacefully productive. If you are looking for more, you can always find me on Instagram at julie.pwdesigns, sharing the behind the scenes of my everyday life as a millennial mom, corporate girly, and small business owner. Until next time, keep on taking one step at a time towards your version of being better every day.